Okay, I'd like us just to pray before we start this morning and just ask God to help us. I've loved the last few weeks, just the response and the openness to God that there's been in our church. I've loved that. And so we're going to pray this morning that that will continue and that God will do something incredible in our lives. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord God, of opening the Bible this morning. I thank you for the truth that it holds for our everyday lives. And Lord, I thank you for the truth that it holds for our church and for our present and for our future. And Lord God, I pray this morning that, Father God, as I open the Bible, that I will say what you want me to say and I will leave the rest behind. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, a few years back, we are part of a network called the Breakthrough Network. And when we kind of meet together as ministers, we used to meet in Nottingham. And we met in the same place for years and years and years. And for about the first 10 years of going over to the Breakthrough Network Leaders Days, okay, Pastor Lee would drive me. It was great. And so, like, you know, he would drive and we would go. And we would go to the Christian Center on Talbot Street in Nottingham for 10 years. Okay, about six times a year, I'd get in the car, I would be driven to Talbot Street, and then we would have the leaders' days, and it was all absolutely fantastic. And then Pastor Lee decided it would be a good idea to leave and pursue something else, and for the last few years, I've had to drive to the Christian Center, and you wouldn't have believed that I'd been going there for 10 years. Okay, so I would be driving. I would know up to a certain point you would get to the BBC building in Nottingham, and I would know how to get there. But from there, I would totally forget. You would not believe that for 10, 12 years, I had been going to this building. Okay, because when I'm in the passenger seat and Pastor Lee was driving, he knows everywhere. And there'd be a detour, and he'd know all the back roads as well, because, you know, that's what guys do. They sit and read maps when they're bored. And so, like, you know, he would know all these roads and all these places. And I used to go, and sometimes I'd have people in the car with me who had also done the journey for quite a few years with Lee. So, like, they'd either be Sue or they'd be Liz or someone in the car. And none of us, how many women does it take to find their way to Talbot Street? Well, I can tell you it's more than three. Okay, because for years, okay, we would kind of go and we'd find the BBC and someone would go, you need to go this way. And someone else would go, no, I'm sure it's that way. None of us remembered to bring a sat-nav with us. Not that we should need one after 12 years of going to the same building. Okay, but the thing is, like, for years, we would just get lost every single time we went. Every time. And then a few things developed and Breakthrough developed a bit more. And it was our last morning going to Talbot Street. And I'll never forget it, because our last morning going to Talbot Street was the first morning I didn't get lost. Okay, so by the time we finished going there, I actually knew where I was going, people. Okay, and I am no good with directions. I'm no good with spatial awareness. Okay, I'm going to tell you the things that I'm no good at now. And, you know, you can ask my husband. He will gladly tell you that. Okay, I was driving back yesterday from Derby. Caitlin is singing with her earphones in and her iPod on, singing at the top of her voice. Yesterday, and I'm like, will you just please be quiet? I don't want to stop the worship going on in the back of the car, but I'm just really trying to get myself out of Derby. And I've realized what a country bumpkin I've become, okay? Because it's not like driving in life. It's not like three cars equals a traffic jam, okay? And so I was like getting lost on all these ring roads and all that kind of stuff. You see, I'm the person who will always get lost. Even if I've been somewhere loads of times before, I'll still get lost. And this morning, what I want to do is we're going to turn to a portion in Luke. And we're going to turn to Luke 19. And we're going to read about a man who was lost. A man who had heard the way quite a few times, but he was still lost. He was still someone who didn't really know the way to Jesus, didn't really know the way to God, didn't really know what God could do in his life until he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about a man called Zacchaeus this morning. I love this story. I love everything it entails. You know, I just love the way Luke portrays Zacchaeus. But if we're going to put Zacchaeus into context this morning, and you should always do that when reading the Bible, I want to start by reading a few verses from Luke 18. And we're going to start at verse 31, when I can find it. It says this: Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." Verse 1 of chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. This is what I've realized about Jesus, okay? Is that the whole of his life, the whole of his ministry was about saving those who were lost. The whole of his life and ministry was about coming to seek and to save those who did not know who he was, those who were lost. And Luke 19, verse 10 says that. It says this: the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke's only reason for writing his gospel was to tell the Gentiles about Jesus. And so when Jesus came to Zacchaeus, he was passing through. He was on his way to be crucified. He was on his way to the worst few days of his life. He was on his way to be taken over by the Romans and to be flogged and to be murdered, but knowing that on the third day he would rise again. I just want to put this into context for you. When we look at stories like Zacchaeus, and when we look at reasons that we give for not doing what God has told us to do, Jesus, I think, had the trump card here. I really do think he had the trump card. He was like, okay, I'm about to be executed. I can't deal with that right now. I can't deal with a small man in a tree. I can't deal with the crowds and the people that are coming towards me. But even whilst he was on the way to the cross, Jesus stopped for the whosoever. Jesus stopped for the people who needed to hear and to see him. Jesus, even on the way to the cross, was finding the lost. It consumed him. It was his whole life's mission to find the lost. And I want to really challenge us as a church this morning that actually our whole life's mission, the reason we exist, is to find people who don't yet know God. Anyone agree with me? The reason we exist is not so we can have nice, comfortable times together. It's so we can find people who don't yet know Jesus. And so what we're going to do, we're going to read through the story of Zacchaeus. And I just want to pull some points out this morning that are very obvious, that might be very simple points, but I want them to challenge us as we move forward as a church. So verse 1, chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. The first thing that I want to say to us this morning, just pulled out of those few verses, is simply this. And this is something that God's spoken to me about this week, because it's totally different than what I've heard about this story my whole life. And I've been hearing this story for the past 40-odd years. And it's simply this, that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. I've always been told he hid up a tree. I don't actually think that's true. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. We're often told he didn't, but actually Luke tells us he wanted to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus went, he was a chief tax collector, which basically means the way that he got paid, the way that he got his wages was to take more money than what was owed. So he didn't necessarily get paid from the authorities. He took more money than what was owed, which is what made him wealthy. Now, when the people were following Jesus, Zacchaeus is not a Gentile, okay? Zacchaeus knows about Jesus. Zacchaeus is a Jew. Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. He's heard the teachings of Jesus. But the difference is Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He would have heard the stories. He would have heard all about him. He would know the Old Testament. But he wanted to see for himself who this Jesus was, what all the fuss was about. He wouldn't have expected all that he got from that day, but he went with one purpose that day. He followed the crowd with one purpose, and that was to see Jesus. Do you know what? This morning, Generations Church, people in our community want to see Jesus. They may not want your religion, but they do want your Jesus. People want to see who Jesus is. In the day in which we are living, in the worries and in the pain and the anguish and the nightmare that there is for people in our world, let me tell you this, we have a community who are going to want to see Jesus. They don't want to hear about him anymore. They don't want to hear the talk. They want to see Jesus in action. You see, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He knew all about him. But that day, he went so he could see him. You see, our community will hear a lot about Jesus. You know, we only have a few primary schools in Louth, and most of them will tell our children about Jesus. I can only speak for the one that my kids go to. One of the reasons my girl became a Christian is because what she heard her headmaster teach her about the Easter story. I love that. So a lot of people will know or will have heard the name Jesus. They will know a little bit about Jesus, but people these days want less talk and more action. They want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus had known about him, but he wanted to see him. You know, these days, Jesus isn't going to come around the corner passing through on his way to somewhere. Jesus is in you and he's in me. So how do people see Jesus in you? How do people see Jesus in your friendships, in the way you talk, in the way you do your job at work, in the way you do your studies at school, in the way you interact with other people? How do people see Jesus in you? Because they don't just want to hear you talk about him. Most people won't give you the time of day for that, but when you begin to show them who he is, that's when they begin to get interested. I want to say to us this morning, actually, we need to get good at showing people who Jesus is. Zacchaeus wasn't up a tree to hide from Jesus. He was up there to see Jesus, to catch a glimpse of the man he had heard all about. Zacchaeus wanted to see the characteristics and power of Jesus that he'd heard about. You know, I read my Bible and I think about this Jesus that's written about in this book. And you know what? I want to see that today. I don't just want to read about it or hear it. I don't want to hear just about what God's doing somewhere else, although that's all absolutely fantastic and we thank God for that. I actually want to begin to allow our community to do more than hear us, begin to see what this thing is all about. Zacchaeus was there for one reason and one reason only, and that was to see Jesus. He didn't just want to see the person, he wanted to see the reputation. The reputation of Jesus being the healer, of Jesus being the one who forgives sins, of Jesus being the one who will stop in the middle of a crowd for a woman who's just touched his cloak and he knows that there's someone there who needs him. Zacchaeus wanted to meet that Jesus. He wanted to see that Jesus. And I want to really challenge us this morning in our personal lives, in our church life, in your connect groups, in our programs that we run. Okay, people may come to those and hear about Jesus, but do they see Jesus in action? Do they see him in action in your life, in my life? He wanted to see Jesus. That's what Zacchaeus wanted. Let's just read that verse 3 again. It says this, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. There were two reasons that he couldn't see Jesus. And the second point that I want to bring to you is simply this, that the reason he couldn't see was not his fault. There were two reasons that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. Number one was he was too short. There are some people who may really resonate with that this morning. I'm not looking over this side for any reason whatsoever, okay? There are some of you who might go, actually, I fully know how Zacchaeus felt. You see, it was not his fault that he was short. Wasn't his fault at all. He was born that way. That was who he was. He couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't all of a sudden grow just to see Jesus. And the second thing was, and it was kind of to do with him being short was that there was a crowd. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. So Zacchaeus, he was short, there was a crowd, meant he could not see. So I don't know if you've ever had like your kids with you when they want to see something and they're little. The best thing to do is to stick them on your shoulders. It's a little bit harder when it's an adult, isn't it? Like, you know, if there was a crowd in here this morning and like Liz was near at the back, you know, for me all of a sudden say, Liz, just get on my shoulders. It didn't look a little bit wrong, really, okay? She's like in her 30s. And it would just, you know, it just wouldn't be right. But Zacchaeus was a little bit like that. There was a crowd. He was short. There was two reasons that he could not see this Jesus who he went to see. None of them were his fault. Do you know what? That there are things in people in our community that may cause them to struggle to see Jesus that are not their fault. There are people in our town this morning who would struggle to see Jesus. It is not their fault. It is not their fault that their life is how it is. It is not their fault that their life has happened the way that it's happened. It is not their fault that they have been through what they have been through. We need to help those people who, through no fault of their own, can't see Jesus. We need to help those people in our community see Jesus who can't because of what has gone on in their life. The crowd stopped him. His height stopped him. There are so many things which would crowd our view of Jesus, and sometimes it's hard to get past them. How many of you know that in here this morning? Just raise your hand. Sometimes things happen. You can't see past them. Okay, you can't see Jesus in it. Okay, multiply that by at least 100 and you're where people outside these four walls are at. Because you already know Jesus. You already know, actually, Jesus, I don't know how you'll come through, but I know you'll come through. Think about the first time that you had to believe God for something, that you had to believe that God would do something that was just so far out of your comfort zone, so far out of what you thought God could do. And when God came through, it's an absolutely amazing. So when you go through something now, you have that to fall back on. Do you know what? There are people in our community, and it's not their fault that they can't see Jesus. There are people in our community who have been through life, who have been through abuse, who have been through illness, who have been through grief, who have been through trauma, and it's not their fault that they can't easily see Jesus. The reason Zacchaeus could not see him was not his fault. There are so many minds this morning that are crowded with all kinds of things. There are so many minds crowded with things like depression, with things like how does this love thing and this acceptance thing work, because all I've known in my life is letdown and disappointment. There are so many things that crowd our minds as Christians. Those who don't yet know God, there are so many things that are crowding their minds so they can't see what you're talking about. But maybe if we would show it, they'd begin to experience it and see it. It wasn't Zacchaeus' fault that he could not see Jesus without doing something about it first. Zacchaeus in his life may have done many things wrong, but the reason he couldn't see Jesus was not his fault. And so many people in our community, do you know, this morning would love to see Jesus. Would love to have their eyes opened to what Jesus is all about. There are so many young people and kids in our community who would just love to know what it is like to be loved by Jesus. But they can't see it because their experience doesn't add up to what we're talking about. There are so many adults in our community who have gone through life and never experienced what it is we talk about when we talk about the love of Jesus. It's not their fault. We can't look at them and say, well, you know, if you'd have done this instead of that, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. We can't do that. It's not their fault. We've got to find people where they're at and begin to let them see who Jesus is, not just hear about what he's done. So it wasn't his fault that he couldn't see Jesus. Let's read on. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. The third point I want to make this morning is that he did something about it. He climbed a tree. The tree just happened to be there, and the sycamore fig tree, I am told, is not a very tall tree. So short people could easily climb it, okay? And it's a tree that is usually used to bring shade, okay? It's usually used so that people can just sit under it and get shade from the sun. And so it was easy for Zacchaeus to climb. Who created the sycamore tree? Yeah, it's not a trick question, I promise. Good Sunday school answer, God, okay? God created the thing that Zacchaeus could climb up so he could see the Jesus he needed to see. You know, this morning I want to challenge us because actually as a church, we need to begin to create ways in which people can come and see Jesus. God created the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up. Just happened to be there when Jesus was passing by, and he climbed up it and he saw Jesus. We have got to get good at creating, if you like, metaphorical trees for people to climb so that they can see this Jesus we're talking about. And I was kind of thinking through, you know, the things that we already do. Youth is a tree. Okay? Metaphor, it's never been called that before, I know. But Route 96 is a tree. It's the thing that young people can come into, have a great time, and begin to see this Jesus that we're talking about. Toddlers is a tree. This place was heaving on Wednesday morning, okay, as people came for the last one of the school year, and as kids were given certificates, and we've loved having you in our toddler group, and you're leaving us to go to school, and we're going to miss you. Do you know what? My boy has still got that certificate. I know other kids. There were kids' photos on Facebook with their certificates saying how much they'd enjoyed coming to toddle this way. It's a tree. It's somewhere where people can come and begin to see this Jesus we talk about. Our holiday clubs are a tree. You know, our Christmas events, it's nearly here, people. Okay? They are, I got it in July. Come on. Okay? It's a tree. Our evangelistic events, we're looking at putting a big evangelistic event on in autumn this year. It's just a tree. It's just something that people can climb into and see this Jesus that we talk about. We have got to get good at creating ways in which people can see Jesus. Zacchaeus placed himself above what obscured his view, and he made a decision to see Jesus. Everything we do should give our community an opportunity to get past whatever obstacle is in the way of them seeing Jesus Christ, of them seeing the faith that we have got. Just coming up in the next few weeks, we had a bit of a thing a few years ago of wanting to provide families with school uniforms. We kind of stepped up on that a little bit. And so Tina has been ringing around all the schools and stuff like that. And she's and her and Richard and Linda have been talking about this. They've been in our community cluster. If you were at the partners night the other week, you'd have heard me talk about that. They've been in our community cluster, and they're beginning to roll this thing out now. You know, in the next few weeks, we want to be able to clothe children whose parents can't do that. It's not their fault. All we're wanting to do is go, there you go. We're not going to ram Jesus down your throat. We're just going to show him to you. There you go. Take that. You know, you need some uniform. If you've got any old uniform that is in good nick, okay, and you're not passing it on to anyone else, why not see Tina? Why not pass it all on to Tina? Because it could clothe someone in our town who really needs it. Yeah. If you want to get involved in washing them and ironing them, because I'm sure Tina doesn't want to do it all, okay? Or Neil apparently. If you want to get involved in that, see Tina today. It's just planting a tree. It's just a metaphorical tree that people can come and they can begin to see Jesus rather than, as always, shout about him. Do you know what? We don't need to shout. We just need to love. We just need to do. We just need to work at these things. We just need to create things in which people can begin to see who Jesus is, where people can begin to put a reputation to the building in which we're. That's the place where we can go and we can get help. That's the place where we can take our kids and they'll have the best time ever. That's the place where I can rock up, you know, when I've just dropped one kid off at school, and I can come and I can be all kind of, my hair can be a mess and my kids can be screaming, and I'm going to go in and someone's going to sit me down at a toddler group, and they're going to talk nicely to me, even though my kid, you know, might be causing havoc in their room. It's just a tree. We're just building something so that people can come and see Jesus. It's just a tool that we can use to help people find Jesus, to give them a chance to encounter him, a chance to rise above what crowds in and what stops them from seeing, and not just hear, but begin to see this Jesus that they may have heard of at some point. Do you know, that is the church I dream of, where actually people don't go, what is that building? Because if we're honest, that's what they do right now. What is that building on Cannon Street? We need to change that. This place needs to become known. You know, I hear people walk past it and some mums call it, it's the TikTok place. Because that's one of the nursery rhymes we sing at toddlers. I love that. We're going to TikTok. So this place, you know, says Cannon Street House on the front. Maybe it should say TikTok. Okay? Paul's shaking his head at me. All right? But people need to know who we are. And not just that we're a church, because they've heard we're a church. But they need to see who we are. Last Sunday, it was Lily's birthday, and quite a few of us went to a birthday party. And Zoe's parents don't have a faith and don't believe in God. I've told her they don't believe in God. And over the last couple of years, have watched their journey to where it is today. And we all rocked up for the party, and Linda was already there when I got there, and busy doing stuff. Richard's pushing the kids on the swings. And then we got there and went into the garden. The kids were playing, and Zoe just went with kind of barbecue tongs in one hand and charcoal in the other, and just said, "Math, will you just sort the barbecue for me?" "Yeah, no problem." And my husband was stood there with a hanky on his head. And he did put the knots in the four corners. Okay, I don't think anyone actually, someone probably did get a photograph, but they're probably in fear of trembling of showing anybody. Okay, but he started to do the barbecue. I was chucking crisps in bowls and cooking pizzas and all that kind of stuff. And I was chatting to Zoe later on in the week, and her mum made this comment. Before we were church people, and her mum made this comment and just said, "Your church family are really great, aren't they?" And all of a sudden, we've gone from the weird people, which we were, to the church family. Do you know what? All it took was a few crisps being put in a bowl, someone doing a barbecue. It's not hard for people to begin to see this Jesus we talk about. We talk so often about how we can tell people about our faith, how we can tell them about Jesus. And I agree with that, but I also think that sometimes we need to show them. Yeah. We need to show them this Jesus that we talk about. We have to make things easy for people to find Jesus. We have to create things for people to come and find this Jesus. So Zacchaeus climbed a tree. He decided to do something that would take him out of where he was so his view could become different. We have to create those things so people's view of Jesus becomes different than what it is today. Because there's 20,000 people or thereabouts in our town. Most of them are not in church this morning. Most of them do not know Jesus Christ. They may have heard him, but they do not know him. We need to change their view. We need to change their view this morning. And then lastly, let's read verse 5. It says this: when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Fourth thing is simply this. He had an encounter come down moment. He's up the tree just to see Jesus. He's not looking to encounter him. He just wants to see this man that he's heard about. Jesus walks, and all of a sudden he looks up and, you know, sees Zacchaeus there. He stopped. Do you know what? Sometimes our lives are so busy, are so crazy, that we never get time to stop and see the people God has put around us. Stop. Why don't you stop tomorrow and see the people God has put around you? See your neighbors. Why don't you stop and see the other parents in the school playground? Why don't you stop and see the other colleagues at your workplace? Why don't you stop and see the family that God has put around you? Jesus stopped. He looked at him and he called him back down. And we have got to create times where people can encounter Jesus. Sometimes people need for us to simply stop, engage them, and offer them the encounter they have been unknowingly waiting for. Zacchaeus had no idea that he was waiting to encounter. He knew he wanted to see. He had no idea he was waiting to encounter Jesus. But Jesus stopped and he called him down. And this morning I want to challenge each one of us that there will be moments that God calls for us to call people. You know, you've seen this Jesus. Do you want to get to know him? Do you want to get to know this Jesus that you've heard about, that hopefully you've seen in my life? Do you want to get to know him? And there are going to become moments, and we've got to become really tuned into these moments where God calls us to go, to stop, to engage someone and to offer them salvation. To offer them. And it's not just done in church. You know, it's not just done on a Sunday morning or a Friday night or wherever. It's you stood in the queue to buy groceries. It's you stood in the playground. It's you in your workplace with that person that you have talked to maybe and that you have shown kindness and God's love to maybe for ages. There's going to become a moment where you need to stop and allow them to encounter, not just hear, not just see, but encounter this God that you love. You know, the Psalms is full of a word that is simply this, Selah. You read the Psalms, and in kind of italics next to it, you'll see the word Selah. This is what Selah means. It means pause. It means think about it. We need to find some Selah moments in our day where we're not doing, where actually we pause and go, God, is there anyone right now that I need to talk to? Is there anyone right now that I need to engage with? Is there anyone right now who is ripe? They may not come into church on a Sunday, God, but is there anyone right now who I could pray with, who I could ask, actually, do you want to get to know this Jesus? Because he's absolutely amazing. We've got to get good at knowing when those come down moments are there. And it's not just about church doing it, it's about all of us doing it. Jesus called Zacchaeus down. He called him down from everything that would stop him from knowing him. He called him down from his isolation. He called him down from his independence. He called him down from the place he had put himself to encounter Jesus. The one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost and Jesus could help him. And so he called him down. We have to create ways for people to have their come down moment with Jesus, for them to experience Jesus, calling them to encounter what they have seen and what they have heard. People need to go away with more than just hearing and seeing. They need to go away with encountering God, encountering this Jesus who can come and do whatever it is we need him to do. And so this morning, maybe you're someone who has heard, maybe even seen what Jesus is all about. Maybe this morning is your encounter morning. Maybe this morning is your morning to get to know Jesus. Maybe this morning is your morning to come away from your isolation, from your independence, from everything that would stop you seeing Jesus and begin to really see him.